Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Glad you're here. This is the Father's house, by the way. And when you're in his house, what's that old, was it Audio Dremeling? My Father's house, anybody? Yeah, it's a big, big house in my Father's house. Yeah, the joy of the Lord is here. Thank y'all, all of you, for being here this morning. By the way, this is June 21st. It's the longest day of the year. Janie was born December 21st on the shortest day of the year. And so we like to celebrate her birthday twice a year. So we're going to sing. No, we're not going to sing happy birthday. Happy half birthday, baby. Okay. All right. Our announcements, check it out, church camps. How many of you have been to church camp this summer? Youth, right? Whoop, 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 whoop. And then a lot of counselors. All right, so we just mark them off. We are to one-way 4th through 6th camp. We got a lot of kids going, so please be praying for them. Then music camp, then Little Cedar. Now, what's not on there is it Wiggles and Giggles? What did Lee... worship and wiggles, not giggles and wiggles. Okay, anyway, that's coming up right there. We go. So that's going to be 13th of the 17th. Going to be a lot of fun too. Okay, it is our 250th anniversary as a nation. I don't know if any of you are kind of, watching stuff on the History Channel or PBS has this great thing on the Revolutionary War. Ken Burns did. Anyway, a lot of stuff. But so whether this is true or not, here's a story. Thomas Jefferson was the president of the U.S. He was crossing the Swollen River with his troops, and one soldier fell off his horse. He stood on the riverbank, and he waited. One soldier went by on horseback, and another, and another, and another, and he just kept waiting. He waited until the President Jefferson himself, came by on his horse, and he asked him, the president, to pick him up. And so he picked him up, took him on his horse across to the other side of the river. When he got to the other side, his friend said, "Why on earth, out of all the boys that were coming across the river, why did you ask the president for a lift?" Well, he said, "I didn't know that was the president. All I know is on some people's faces is written the word no, and on some people's faces is written the word yes." And on President Jefferson's face, it was the word yes. Now, whether or not that's true or not, we have a God written on his face, inscribed deep in his heart, is this capital Y yes to every single person here. And when you experience and receive his yes, then you too, your face, your heart won't have no. Your heart will say yes to this world in which you live. Yes, to love this world. Even as Jesus has loved you. This morning, we're talking about fathers. We're talking about the Father heart of God. And may you experience and receive his yes. Lord Jesus, come this morning and just be in this place. Father, Abba, Daddy, make yourself real. Make yourself known to each and every person here. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, let's stand together and do our mission statement this morning. Y'all ready? St. Luke's is a Christ-centered family of grace where all persons are welcome. Take everything, Lord. Hear and receive God's word. This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons, and you will be my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Lord Jesus, this morning, send your Holy Spirit here. Father, come and father us. Lord, may every woman, every man, every boy, every girl come to know the heart of the Father, the heart of the Father this very morning. In your name, Jesus, amen. Y'all can be seated. So, y'all, the world has always had its ideas about what real masculinity should be like, right? I mean, in the 1960s, it was John Wayne showing us what true grit really meant. In the 1970s, it was Clint Eastwood, right? Dirty Harry, Mean Harry, right? In the 1980s, it was all the muscles of, with Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, in the 90s, it was all about the heartthrobs, Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio. I was going to put Tom Hanks there, but the computer said that Tom Hanks is not a heartthrob. Anyway, okay. In my whole life, James Bond, right? He has been the man, 007. Today, it's Taylor Sheridan, who is one of the most profitable producers and writers of our time. A few of his successful shows, right? Like Yellowstone, Landman, Linus, Tulsa King. Maybe these are shows you watch and enjoy. Maybe these are shows you refuse to watch. But make no mistake. Sheridan's shows have a consistent set of values that gets communicated again and again. Values like women are objects to be possessed. Values like violence is to be glorified and payback and retribution is essential. Values like real manly language has to be profane and vulgar. Sheridan's heroes, right, they live these obviously ambiguous moral lives. It's as if there's no such thing as heroic men or women who might actually be, could ever be, something we might call godly or holy. But y'all, holy. Holy, by the way, it does not mean holier than thou. Holy means to be set apart and called to be like Jesus. Holy means to be wholly, totally committed to God. Maybe Sheridan writes the way he does because he knows what sells. Or maybe Sheridan really has no clue about the power of a godly, holy life to actually change our families and thus change our world. Maybe it's time for us to change our focus. Maybe it's time to let something other than the entertainment world tell us about how to be a man. Maybe it's time to let God himself, the God who created us, maybe it's time to let God himself be the one to set the example and be the example of how we are to be the men of God that he desires us to be. This morning, I want to invite every man here. I want to invite every person here to let the Father's heart become your heart. I want to invite every man here to let the heart of God become alive and real in your heart. Sometimes a lot of us get these warped images of who the Father is. Some of us have this view of the Father like he's just a warm and cuddly grandfather with a long gray beard, way, way up in the heavens. Some see the Father as a mean and judgmental authority waiting to bop us on the head when we mess up. Others see the Father as just a divine timekeeper, simply observing humanity from the great press box in the sky. He's like a giant, a great watchmaker that created the universe and walked away from it. You know, he has no real engagement with the universe and no real engagement with us. But Jesus says, John 14, verse 9, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. But Jesus says, John 12, 45, and whoever sees me sees him who sent me. But Jesus says, John 10, 30, I and the Father are one. Again this morning, I want to invite you to know the Father's heart for you. And I want to invite you to have the Father's heart in you. So five characteristics this morning of the Father's heart. First, the Father's heart is a heart that holds us. The Father holds us and the Father has us. In Luke 15, 2, the Pharisees came and muttered against Jesus. And they said, this man welcomes sinners and he eats with them. And so Jesus tells them the story of that lost prodigal son. He tells them the story about the young son who demands his inheritance. About the young son who gets as far away from his dad as possible. About the young son who wants to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. About the young son who squanders away his whole inheritance in what Jesus calls loose living, right? In other words, P-A-R-T-Y, when he parties hardy, you know it. And Jesus tells us about the young son who runs out of money and runs out of friends, who gets so desperate in that faraway country that he takes a job feeding pigs. Jesus tells about the young Jewish son, maybe quite a bit older by now, who gets so desperate that he's willing to eat the food, right? He's willing to eat the pig slop that the pigs are eating. And in that pig pen of sin's despair, that son remembers, right, his father. And he heads home with nothing in his hands but hunger, with nothing in his heart but sorrow and repentance. He's got a speech all planned. Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just take me back as one of your hired hands. Day after day, as he's walking home, he's working on that speech. But Jesus says that while the son was still a long way off, the father saw him. You see, the father never stopped looking for the son. The father never stopped searching for the son. The father never stopped loving the son. And when the father saw him, he was filled with compassion, and he ran to him, and he threw open his arms, and he hugged him, and he kissed him. And the son started into his speech, Father, I've sinned against heaven, against you. I'm not no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father cut him off. He said to the servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it, right? Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this, my son was dead. He's now alive. This, my son who was lost, is now found. So they begin to party. Except this party didn't leave him wasted and empty. It left him full, full of life and full of joy. In the Alpha course, we learned the story of Charlie Mackesy. Before becoming a Christian, Charlie was a staunch atheist who viewed Christians as judgmental people who believed in a fabricated, invisible friend God named Jesus. Charlie was living far from God, and his life was filled with all kinds of destructive choices. But at a music festival in London in 1992, God the Father came seeking and finding Charlie. Mackesy was at the festival when he heard a gospel choir singing the song, Oh Happy Day. Y'all know the song? Oh Happy Day. When Jesus... I won't sing it. Okay, anyway. Oh Happy Day. The sheer life and power and spirit behind that music completely pierced through his hard-hearted atheism. Overwhelmed and unexpected emotion came over Charlie, and Charlie ran to find privacy so he could cry. And the only private spot available, right, was a notoriously filthy, overflowing festival porta potty, what the Brits call a portaloo. As Mackie stood inside, literally weeping at the beauty of the gospel message that he was for the first time experiencing and receiving, his foot slipped and he sank deep into the filth of the porta potty. God the Father met Charlie right where he was. It was messy, it was stinky, it was entirely unreligious, and yet God the Father came to Charlie exactly where he was, in his sin, in his brokenness, in the poo of his situation. That's where God became real to Charlie. Mackesy's conversion deeply influenced his art, leading him to create The Return of the Prodigal. It's a striking bronze sculpture that depicts Jesus' story from Luke 15, and Mackesy captures the prodigal because he was the prodigal with a visceral, raw intensity, and instead of a formal and polite, you know, pat-pat greeting, the father is completely enveloping the exhausted, broken, desperate son. The son is literally collapsed into his father's arms. His legs and arms are dangling, and he's entirely dependent on his father's strong embrace to hold him up. That's the father's heart, to hold us and to have us, no matter where we've been, no matter where we are, no matter what's going on in our lives. This morning, let the Father have you. Let him hold you for today and tomorrow and forever. You belong to him. You are his. Second, the Father's heart is a heart of extreme love. extreme love, radical, sacrificial love, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Romans 5:8, for God demonstrate, God proves his love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Isaiah, written 700 years before Jesus was even born, he said, surely he took up our pain and he bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed. The Father's love is a do whatever it takes kind of love. The Father's love is a no matter what kind of love. The Father's love is a willingness to hurt and die kind of love. Fathers, how are we to love our sons and our daughters like that? We are to love them like God has loved us. This week I read the story of Phil and Nancy. They were married over 60 years. They lived modestly. Both served as pastors in the Salvation Army for much of their adult life. And after retirement, they moved into a senior housing apartment. And both lived to be 94 years old. In her mid-80s, Nancy began to show signs of dementia. And also, she had profound hearing issues. But living together, both Phil and Nancy, they were doing okay. They were able to make it work. Then at age 93, Nancy got out of the car unassisted because she had forgotten that she was supposed to be assisted. She had forgotten that she was supposed to wait for Phil to help her. She fell, she broke her hip, and even though the hip was repaired, Nancy never walked again due to the mental inability to cooperate with the necessary physical therapy. So Nancy was moved into a nursing home a block from their apartment. And for the next year and a half, Phil walked over to the nursing home every single day. And he joined Nancy for lunch. He's 93 too. He joined her for lunch, feeding her when she could no longer feed herself. Phil took his vow seriously and he served Nancy every day. And so she moved on to her heavenly home. Y'all, love, listen, it's not about us. It's about the other. That kind of extreme love has to be received before it can even begin to be given. You wonder why you're struggling this way in your marriage, in your families, with your children. Who we are in relationship with Christ, right? Has everything to do with who we are in relationship with others. And who we are in relationship with others has everything to do with who we are in relationship with him. Third, the Father's heart is a heart that is always present. Matthew 28:20, when Jesus gives us the responsibility and the power to be his disciples. We preached on this last week, right? The responsibility to be his disciples. He makes this promise. It's the very last thing he says on planet Earth. It's the very last thing he says to his disciples. And surely, I am with you to the end of the age. I love the beautiful song that King David wrote 3,000 years ago, Psalm 139. He says, where can I go to flee from your spirit? Where can I go to flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, man, everything's going great, hunky-dory, end of story. If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, in the pit of Sheol, you're still there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, man, everything's going great. If I settle on the far side of the sea because it's where I want to be and I'm trying to get as far away from you as I can, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even in the darkness, even when it's scary, even when I'm all alone, even when I have no clue about what's going to happen in my life, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. No matter how dark your life may be, no matter how deep your struggle may be, no matter how hurt your heart may be, His light is greater than our darkness. His presence is there even when we feel he is absent. Patrick Morley, in his book, The Man in the Mirror, tells the story of a group of four fishermen, including Larry and his young son, Brian. They flew into a remote, secluded bay in Alaska for a day of salmon fishing. They had a particular day on the water, a spectacular day on the water. I mean, they caught salmon right and left. But when they returned to their float plane, they discovered that the drastically shifting Alaskan tides had left their plane high and dry, run aground on the shore. With no other choice, they settled in to spend the night on the beach, waiting for the morning high tide to lift the plane back into the water. That evening was filled with great fresh salmon cooked on a roaring fire. It was around that same fire that they told great stories and had a lot of laughter, sharing life with each other that night. The next morning, the tide returned. The plane was afloat once more. The pilot cranked the engine, taxied across the water, pulled back on the throttle to take off. However, unknown to anyone on board, resting on that rocky shore the previous night had punctured one of the plane's pontoons. And through the night, that pontoon had slowly filled with water. As the plane lifted just a few feet off the surface, the weight of the water-filled pontoon turned the plane or dragged the plane down. The plane violently crashed and flipped over upside down into the icy Alaskan sea. The cabin immediately began filling with freezing water. In the chaos and panic, the pilot and his passengers managed to scramble out of the plane, kick their way to the surface. The two men with Larry and Brian battled to swim to shore against the dangerous riptides of the bay. And those two grown men barely made it. Larry, too, was a strong swimmer. And his friends said that he could have made it as well. But Larry instead wrapped his arms around his son, and he never let him go. The two were found frozen together, arm in arm, over a day later. Dads, that's a covenant that we are called to make with our children. I am here with you and for you, and I'm not going anywhere. I'm here to stay. No matter what their age or stage in life, our kids need to know that no matter what, we're not going anywhere. No matter what, we're here to love you, to believe in you, and to be there for you. Today and always, I am here for you. Dads, this morning, you need to hear that from your Heavenly Father so that you can be that as an earthly father. Fourth, the Father's heart is a heart that's all about relationship. When we say that we were created in God's image, right? God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, perfect unity and relationship. When we say that we're created in God's image, we're saying that we too were created for relationship with Him and for relationship with each other. The Father's heart knows everything there is to know about us. And the Father's heart deeply desires that we would know Him as well. Jesus says, Matthew 10, verse 30, that even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now that implies that even your hairs are numbered. That implies that everything else is known about you as well. To number something, to count something, means to know the total, right? To number something means to catalog each individual hair. This verse doesn't just mean that God knows the quantity of our hairs. It means He knows which specific hair falls out. That's pretty complicated in my case. Y'all, this is Jesus' poetic way of saying that there is no detail in your life that's too small. There is no hurt or need of your life that's too insignificant. There is no moment of brokenness too hidden for the Father to notice. I mean, the grand scope of the universe, you know, it means that God, you know, who sustains the totality of the cosmos. God who sustains the totality of the cosmos, right? He's bending down in the dirt and He's counting the number of hairs on your head, the number of hurts in your heart. Finally, the Father's heart is a heart that invests his time in us. I mean, that's why God, right, put on human skin and dwelt among us, becoming one of us. Luke, John 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, with us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Time leads to intimacy. Intimacy leads to trust, and trust leads to flourishing. I mean, the more time we spend with our children, the more intimate we become with them, the more intimate we become with them, the more they become who God desires them to be. Over 50 years ago, Yuri Bronfenbrenner did a groundbreaking study to find out just how much time dads spent with their kids. They first visited with the subjects, the dads, and allowed them to self-report how much time they were spending with their children each day. Most dads said they spent, 15 to 30 minutes a day with infant children. Then Bronfenbrenner decided to measure the actual time that dad spent. So they did, they actually did this research 50 years ago. So what they did was attach a small voice-activated microphone pack to every newborn child. These microphones were sensitive enough to record any time the father spoke directly to the baby or interacted within, earshot of certain circumference, thus capturing the real-time data from the time infants were 2 weeks old until they were 3 months old. When the researchers analyzed the tapes, the actual amount of direct interaction was drastically lower than anyone had anticipated. The average number of times a father actually spoke to his infant child was 2.7 times per day. And the average daily interaction that a father spent talking directly to his child was a mere 37.7 seconds per day. Imagine, y'all, in our world today, our children are getting bombarded by images, by media, by all kinds of influences, and dads are just connecting 37.7 seconds per day. That's not going to cut it, my brothers. God desires more from us and for us. God desires more for our kids and our grandkids. Wherever you are, don't settle for where you are. Seek to invest more and more time with your children. I mean, nobody ever said on their deathbed, man, I wish I'd spent more time at the office. Man, I wish I'd spent more time at the golf course. Man, I wish I'd spent more time on myself. Two events that made a huge difference in my life as a dad. First event was Promise Keeper Rally in 1997-98. Josh and I went. Promise Keeper rallies were great. 50, 60,000 people at Texas Stadium, old Texas Stadium. And I mean, it's like, it's men, we all smell, nobody showers, who cares, right? Nobody matches. It's awesome, right? And we're going, we love Jesus, yes we do. We love Jesus, how about you? And the other side, we love Jesus, yes we do. We love Jesus. Just, the greatest thing was as speakers were speaking, we had these giant beach balls, and they're speaking, but we could play beach ball all around the stadium. It was awesome. Anyway, last speaker of the weekend was Coach Bill McCartney. Great talk. But at the end of his talk, the end of the weekend, he asked, if your dad was in the house, if your son was in the house, he asked all the fathers and sons to get together and to pray. Josh is 10 or 11 at the time, and, so we get together, we're up there in the bleachers, and I'm praying for him. Boy, I pray and pray and pray. I'm praying for Jesus just become so real to him, for Jesus to just love him and make his Holy Spirit so present in his life, for him to experience his purpose and his call from God. I'm praying for, God to bring in, the right wife someday, and for his wife to love Jesus more than she loves him, and I'm praying for his kids that he's going to have someday, and I'm just praying and praying and praying and praying, and then I finish, I don't know how many minutes later, Josh prays one sentence. He says, Jesus, I thank you that Daddy comes home on Friday to play basketball with me. kind of rocked my world there. And then the second thing, the other thing that made a huge difference in my life was the story of Dick Hoyt and his son Rick. In 1977, 15-year-old Rick is in a wheelchair. He has cerebral palsy. He's nonverbal. Through a communication device, he asked his dad to push him in a charity run to help a classmate who'd been paralyzed. Now, Rick had never done anything. I mean, Rick is a 40-year-old dad, out of shape. But his son asked, he answered. And then after the race, Rick communicated using that special device again. He said, "Dad, when I'm running, it feels like I'm not disabled." And so run they did. For the next four decades, Dick and Rick Hoyt were on a mission that literally took them all around the world. I don't know how many marathons they ran. I don't know how many triathlons they did. After watching the Father love me and love us, I have made the decision that I'm going to give until it hurts. I'm going to have a lasting love that lasts as long as I last. I'm going to put the needs of my children and grandchildren before the needs of myself. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But y'all, we've all got to know this. We will never be able to love this way until we first fully and deeply experience the love of God the Father this way. This morning, as we close out, dads, men, women, girls, boys, say yes to the Father's love for you. And as you say yes to His yes, you will be freed and empowered to be the man of God, the father, the wife, the daughter, the son, the mother that God is calling you to be. Say yes. Lord, we love you. Lord, we need you. And we don't just want to talk about the Father's heart. We want the Father's heart, the Father's embrace to be real, to be powerful, to be transforming in our lives. And we want to know, not just about your extreme love for us, God, we want to experience that love. And Lord, we thank you that right here, right now, you are present with us. And always you are present with us. We thank you that our relationship with you means everything to you. And we thank you that you have made time to be with us today and to be with us tomorrow and to be with us forever, and that you will never, ever, ever let us go. Hold us, Jesus. Y'all, come and pray this morning at the altar. Pray in your seats. But man, come and experience the powerful arms of God, the powerful reality of His grace holding you. Y'all, come. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, thank you so much for being here today. And happy Father's Day to all of you. None of us have perfect fathers, but we got one. Good. And that's the one that matters. Happy Father's Day to you, God. And yesterday, we had Benjamin at the house. And so we were going to take a bath. And he has, at their house, they have, you know, stuff on the bottom of the bathtub that kind of helps from slipping. We don't have that. So it's like, you have to keep a hand on Benjamin. In fact, when he does feel like he's slipping, guess what he does? That just makes him want to go faster. And you know what? We all have played that game where we tried to stand on our own only to find out we're falling, and then that just makes us fight all the more. And y'all, his hand is on you. Lord, for right now and for always, may every person here feel your touch, know your strength, and know your provision and empowerment in their lives. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, new members this morning, you guys come. Real quick, sorry. You guys, do you believe in Jesus? Do you trust Him as your Lord and Savior? Is it your desire to serve Him and follow Him all the days of your life? Say, if so, say it is.
It is.
And then, do you want to be a part of this Christ-centered family of grace? And let them be a part of your life. If so, say we do. Will y'all get to know these guys, not just by name or by sight or by the second from the back row right over there, but will you get to know them? They're a beautiful family, and God has been working in their lives, done miracles of healing in their lives, and so please get to know them. If y'all will get to know them, say, praise God!
Praise God!
All right, in the name of Jesus, happy Father's Day. God bless y'all.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.